Yes, I have sound. Great. Hello, everyone. I'm very happy to welcome you today in this beautiful room and to talk to you about Windows Phone and Windows 8, and especially putting quite a lot of weight on how to share code and reuse code between those two platforms. My name is Laurent Bugnon, and I work for a firm named Identity Mine. Here we go. I work for a firm named Identity Mine, located in Seattle in the US, and we work quite a lot with especially XAML-based technologies. So we do code for Silverlight WPF. Xbox has a little-known SDK to develop XAML-based application. It's still a private SDK, so not everybody can develop, but definitely XAML runs on Xbox, which is a great news. And also, of course, Windows Phone and Windows 8, which has been really the bulk of our activities in the past 2 years, I would say. We currently have about 45 Windows Phone applications in the store and about 25 Windows 8 applications. So it's very exciting, and of course, we're always looking for ways to maximize code reuse between the platforms. So when you have an application which runs on Windows Phone already, putting it on Windows 8 should be in a perfect world, direct. It's not the case yet. We are really moving forward. So good news, it's always better. It's not totally 100% yet, but we are reaching there slowly. So when you do code sharing, you have multiple strategies. Until recently, I think the strategy that everybody was using was sharing at code level, at source code level. And for those of you who attended my sessions in the past few years, you probably saw that. I was already doing those demos where basically I was going into Visual Studio. I was developing for Windows Phones and switching to Windows 8. And then I would go and do add existing item. And then instead of clicking on add, I was clicking on link to an existing item. And this adds a shortcut to the file. So physically, the file is not duplicated in your source code, in your source control system, which is great because it helps to maintain. Now, sometimes you have to change a little bit of the code. And for that, we also have strategies. For example, you know that you have partial classes in C Sharp. So you can have two partial classes in Windows Phone, and then share only one of those. And then the other one is going to be written from scratch. So if you have a method which exists only in Windows Phone, you can move that method to a partial file, and then after that, you don't share that particular partial file to your Windows 8 application, but you share only the rest, the foundation of your file. This is also a strategy that I use quite often when I share code at source code level. Finally, note that you can share XAML. It's a little bit difficult because there are a couple of very small changes to the XAML syntax in Windows 8, and those can make your life a little bit difficult. But if you have, for example, something like a user control that you use on the phone, and that you absolutely want to use on Windows 8 as well for some reason, you can actually do some sharing there. Honestly, I don't really recommend it because the experience on the phone should be different from the experience on the tablet. It's not exactly the same, okay? We have different controls. Think of the grid view on Windows 8 versus the long list selector on Windows Phone. It's really not the same. So personally, I don't do that. I really prefer to rewrite my XAML. So I don't share the view. I don't share elements at the view level. But my view models and my models, definitely, I try to share as much as possible. Now, you can also share at assembly level. And this is something new. When you do a class library for Windows 8 and a class library for Windows Phone, as you all probably know, you cannot actually reference those. There is a binary incompatibility, okay? So it doesn't work. But you can do portable class library. Portable class library is a new type of project. Microsoft is working quite a lot on that at the moment. And this creates binaries, creates DLLs, which are binary compatible between different platforms. So it allows you to really write once and reuse that code. When you do portable class library, you create a new project in Visual Studio. You have to go under Windows, which is a little bit confusing, because even though this particular assembly that I'm going to do in the demo doesn't run on Windows, it runs only on Windows Phone and Windows 8, I have to go under Windows to select the project template portable class library. But once you understand that, it's fine. And then you say for which frameworks this library is going to be available. Available are all those, and more. Okay, like for example, there is also a version of portable class library for Xbox. So if you have a phone app, and then you want to reuse some, if you are one of the few invited, one of the few guests into the private SDK, you can actually also do a portable class library, which will also run on Xbox. So all those are available. And of course, it's what you get is a subset of all the functionalities available for all those frameworks. For example, if you do an application with a portable class library which is developed for .NET and Windows 8, what you'll get is the common area. And then if you add Windows Phone to the mix, then you'll have, of course, the surface is a little bit smaller. There are a few things which just don't run on portable class library. One example I will show you later, we will do a quick demo of NFC, near field communication. So this is based on a sensor. Sensors typically are not available in portable class library. So this is code that you have to share if you want to share that code at source code level. But there are quite a lot of things which do work. So we'll see a demo in a second. Now, of course, if you do XAML, and by the way, the demo that I'm going to show you is using XAML and C#, because, like you probably know, there is no HTML5 and JavaScript native applications on the phone. So if you want to share code, it's really a XAML and C# story. And typically, when we do XAML and C#, we do MVVM, Model View View Model. So how does it work with Portable Class Library? Well, it actually works pretty well. What you can definitely put in the portable class library is a big part of your model. Okay, so the classes that connect to a database, that connect to web service, these kind of things, all the deserialization code, which is annoying to write, at least you can write it only once. I'm going to show you an example. All that can be definitely located in portable class libraries. View model works pretty well. So you can have a view model, like your main view model, in the portable class library, and then bind the data context of your Windows Phone page and the data context of your Windows 8 page to that view model, for example, through a view model locator like we do in MVVM Lite. Helpers, you can have all kinds of helper class that I can think of, you know, like date time conversions or, you know, any type of helper classes can be, of course, shared this way as well. And then, in the application, we typically put the view and also possible some part of the view model. Okay, if you have something which really doesn't make sense to be shared, then you won't put that into your portable class libraries. Instead, you will have a view model class which is just in the Windows 8 app. Model, in some cases, and especially everything which has to do with sensors, like I mentioned, sensors don't play well with portable class libraries. They, in fact, don't play at all. They just don't work. So that's something that you want to have into your app separately. And, of course, also some helpers. If you have some helper classes which are really specific to Windows 8, that's something that you probably don't want to share. So you leave that in the app. And the same thing happens at the Windows Phone level. Now, what do you have in portable class libraries? Well, you have a few libraries that you can actually reference, which work fine. For example, Microsoft BCL is quite useful, especially if you do some Silverlight or Windows Phone 7, and you want to use the new async and await keywords. Those keywords are available in Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, but they are not available in Windows Phone 7. So if you want to do if you have an application which for some reason has to run on Windows Phone 7, you can reference Microsoft.bcl, and then you get that asynchronous goodness for free. Microsoft.net.http. Now, this one is interesting because it's very new. It's actually still pre-release, so a little bit careful when you use that. I'm going to show you an example of that. This is the HTTP client. For those of you who already developed a little bit for Windows 8, you probably saw that the web client that we are using in Windows Phone and in Silverlight is not available anymore. Now it's called HTTP client. And it's actually a very, very powerful and comfortable API to use. So personally, I prefer HTTP client to web client, especially because HTTP client, you can do await get string. And you don't have to do the whole download string completed event handler, which was a little bit annoying. So now you don't have to do that. You can use HTTP client. But HTTP client natively is only available for Windows 8. So if you do Windows Phone, you can pull that library, Microsoft.net.http, and then you have that goodness for free as well. JSON.net is probably the best-known library to serialize and deserialize JSON. Is also available for portable class libraries. We'll use that in the demo. The common service locator, which is used by many, especially IOC containers, such as Unity, for example, or if you use MVVM Lite, you need that reference as well. And MVVM Lite is available as portable class library. So MVVM Lite is a toolkit that I developed and maintain. And I had the chance to talk to people from the portable class library team who decided to use that as a sample project. So they took that code and they ported it completely to portable class libraries. I'll show you in the demo how you can use that. It's quite nice and convenient. And more. Okay, there are, of course, some that I didn't list here. Those are all the ones that we will use in the demo. Now, it works well with NuGet because NuGet is automatically going to select the correct references for you, which is nice. We'll talk about NuGet in a second. But make sure that you have the latest version of NuGet. I think the latest is 2.2. I had a couple of issues with 2.1, especially related to portable class libraries. But 2.2 solves those issues, so make sure you have the latest. Okay, so I'm going to show you a demo now. Enough slides, let's move to code. And I'm going to show you how to build a shared application connecting to web service and doing all kinds of things with the result. Sorry for the cough, I'm a little bit under the weather, but it's getting better every day. So here we go. I have two applications here, one Windows 8 application and one Windows Phone app. Now, those applications, I created them with file, new project, new MVVM Lite. So file, new project, and then if you installed MVVM Lite, you have MVVM Lite for Windows Phone 8, there is MVVM Lite for Windows 8, and of course, there is also WPF and Silverlight if you want. Now, in MVVM Lite applications, we have the page is data-bound, to an object called ViewModelLocator, and this ViewModelLocator is helping you to manage the lifetime of your ViewModels. So this is quite convenient, and in fact, I would really like to reuse that in portable class libraries. So first of all, I'm going to create a new PCL. Let's go to Add New Project. Like I mentioned, I have to go under Windows, and then I'm going to select here a portable class library. And I'm going to name that friends.lib. And here I'm going to select the framework that I'm interested in. In that case, I'm going to do some Windows Phone 8 and .NET for Windows Store applications. So this is Windows 8 apps. Going to say OK. Let's get rid of this class here. And then I'm just going to move here my whole view model folder inside this new library. And then I remove it from my Windows 8 application. Then the next step is to build the model. Okay, let's start at the bottom. So I'm going to create here a new folder. And the service we are going to connect to, let me show you how it works. This is a response that it's sending. So it's some JSON, okay? There is a big data property. This data property is actually an array. And then I have a series of objects, each with an ID, and then first name, last name, picture, location, and a message. So that's what I get. So now I'm going to build a small object layer to deserialize this. The first object I'm going to add is the object which contains this data property. So I'm going to call that list of friends. Oh, one thing, by the way. If you came to see me last year, you may remember that I'm a ReachHelper user. I actually like ReachHelper very much. And you may notice that I'm not using ReachHelper now. The reason is that ReachHelper is freaking out with portable class libraries, unfortunately. There is a bug which creates a situation where all your IntelliSense is not working anymore, pretty much. So if you want to do portable class library, unfortunately, right now, I'm sure they are working on it, but right now, you have to disable ReachHelper. To do that, you go into Options, ReachHelper, and here you can suspend the ReachHelper add-on. Okay, so now I have my list of friends, and this list of friends has a property called data, which is actually mapped to a field called data with a small d in the JSON. So now notice that I'm using JSON property here as an attribute, which is a JSON.NET attribute. So I need to add JSON.NET to my application. Like I mentioned, I want to do that using NuGet. So NuGet is an extension. You add that through extensions and update. Here it is, NuGet Package Manager. Like I mentioned, make sure that you have the latest version, in that case 2.2. And then once you have added NuGet as an extension, you can go to Manage NuGet Packages. And then you can search. So I'm going to search for JSON.NET. JSON.NET. Here we go. I'm going to install. And what it does is pulling the latest version of the DLL and referencing them, referencing the right version, the right framework, into my application. It takes a moment to download everything. Here we go. And now immediately, I have a new folder created in my application here called Packages, and this is where you will find all the DLLs that you get. So then you can put that under source control if you want to keep track of those references. Okay, now that I have JSON.NET, it means that I can here use it. And that's already my list of friends. Now let's talk about the friend object. So I'm going to add a new class, friend. And in this object, I will have a number of properties. But the first thing which is interesting to me is that I want this object to be data, to be bindable. Okay? So I want to make it observable. Now, to make it observable, typically what you want to do is implement iNotify property changed. Okay? And then implement that typically with a raise property changed utility method. But of course, it's annoying to do that in all your objects. What I really want is use MVVM Lite. So I'm going to pull MVVM Lite from NuGet. And of course, because I'm in a portable class library, I need to make sure to use the PCL version of MVVM Lite, which is located here. There is a PCL in parentheses. Okay. Click on install, accept the license. It's pulling the dependencies. In that case, the common service locator is a dependency. And it's installing everything here locally. Now, another thing I need to do, because I'm using PCL in my library, I also have to use the PCL version in my applications. Okay, I cannot use the default, the Windows 8 version, respectively Windows Phone version, in my apps, because otherwise the references don't match. So I need to remove those references, which I did already, and then instead, I'm going to go here and add reference, and I'm going to navigate to the package folder, Here, now I have MVVM Lite here, lib, and I'm going to select the portable NAT45 SL4 WP71 Win8 version of those DLLs. And I also want to add the common service locator version, which is here. And then I also add the same references into my Windows Phone app. So I need to replace those DLLs because otherwise the references, the version, the strong name doesn't match with the library, and then you get all kinds of issues. So here I'm going to do the same here in the Windows Phone application. Let's go to Browse, and I'm just going to take here the exact same libraries. And now I have the same version of those libraries everywhere. So since I have MVVM Lite now, I can get rid of this uModel, of this iNotify property change and use uModel Base instead, which means that I can remove this code because uModel Base is already implementing iNotify property change. Okay, now I'm going to add some properties. So I know that I have an ID, which is mapped to the field ID of the same name. I have first name and last name. And for first name and last name, I'm going to raise the property change event. So I'm going to make that those properties observable in my applications because I want to be able to change that during the lifetime of the app. Same for last name. The picture URL, I'm just going to get it from the service, but I'm not going to edit that, so I'm not making it observable. And then I'm going to add here a property called isDirty, which I'm not actually serializing or deserializing. I ignore it, okay? I'm just going to use that for some UI things. And then I'm going to add a method here called update, which we'll use later. It's a method which allows me to get a friend and to update the current friend with a new friend, just the first name and the last name. We are going to use that when we do the NFC demo. Okay, that's my model layer, and now I need some services. So I'm going to add a new interface, and this interface is going to be called iDataService. I don't know who is the idiot who thought that it would be intelligent to not make the files, the interfaces, and the classes public by default. You always have to type public. I hate those five letters. Anywho. So iDataService, okay, here we go. And those are going to be asynchronous methods. Notice that I'm returning a task off. So I'm going to make those methods are going to be awaitable, okay? And for the first one, a task of iList of friend. And for the second one, I'm going to save a friend, and then I'm going to return the ID of the friend as a string. Okay? If it's a new friend that I'm adding, I'm going to get the new ID. If it's an existing friend, I'm going to get the existing ID just for verification. All right, let's implement iDataService. So new class, dataService. Here we go. Hey, look at that, it's not public. Public, iDataService, and then the implementation. So what I want to do here, first of all, let's start by defining the URL of the service. Oops, wrong location. Here we go. Now the URL is quite simple. There is here a code. The code is just so that not everybody right there, so it's kind of secret. Then there is the action, which can be, the keyword action, and then there is the action itself, which can be get, reset, or save. And then there is a seed just to avoid caching. So this is just the ticks of the date time.now. Okay, then get friends. So get friends is going to create a new HTTP client. Now, like I mentioned, the HTTP client by default is not part of PCL. You cannot use that class yet. So we need to add something. So let's do that through NuGet again. Manage NuGet packages, and then I'm going to type HTTP client. And then I select this package here, Now notice that this package is only available if you select pre-release. Okay, so here in the combo box, you have to select pre-release. Now that can be annoying. Okay, if you do some production code, you probably don't want pre-release code into pre-release assembly into your production code. I'm going to show you how you can work around that. But here, for the purpose of the demo, I actually want to show that. It's going to pull Microsoft.bcl. Okay, this is a reference that is needed. NuGet is installing everything. Here we go. And now we are done. Okay, so if you don't want to use this pre-release assembly, what do you do? Well, you can share a new web client, you can wrap it and make it awaitable. Let me show you how. So this is another solution where I implemented that, and this is something which is totally safe for production, by the way. So here I have my data service, and then I say, well, I want to have a client which is awaitable, but web client is not awaitable. So how do I do that? So here I have my async client. I define a method get, which takes a URI, and then it just gets the result as a string. Now, this async client, I have two implementations. I have one for Windows 8, which is very straightforward because I'm using HTTP client, so I can do await, and this method here can be async directly, no problems. In Windows Phone, however, I have to implement that differently. And the way that it works is that you use something called task completion source, of string, of the result. Okay? Now, my method here returns a task of string, just like the other one. Okay? If you spot the difference is that this one says async, and this one doesn't. It doesn't need to be async because here I don't have the keyword await inside my code. Instead, I'm going to fool the framework to await for the result. And to do that, you create your new task completion source. You create your class SIP web client. You handle the download string completed event, which is this event handler, this asynchronous event handler. I'm going to get back to that in a second. You call download string async. And then you return TCS, you return the task completion source dot task. Okay? Now what's going to happen is that when you call get, when you call await get, the framework is actually going to do the await, and it's going to continue the execution only after you set the exception, in case there is an error, or the result, in case there is no error. And then you're going to just continue execution. Okay? So that code here needs to be developed, but after you write it once, and then you can reuse the async client in all your Windows Phone libraries, all your Windows Phone applications. Okay? And this allows you to have your data service, which is really shared while you use the exact same code in Windows 8 and in Windows Phone. So it's quite convenient. Okay, so now that was a trick if you want to use code which is absolutely safe for production. If you don't mind doing the pre-release stuff, and by the way, keep an eye on this particular library because things are moving very fast. When I started preparing the demo, it was not out yet, so I prepared the first version of the demo with the task completion source, and then it came out, so I thought, well, I'm going to use it and show the task completion source as a parenthesis. Okay, now I referenced here into my application HTTP client, so I can use it. I'm going to call here getStringAsync to get the JSON. I need a few constants for my URI, so I'm going to add here a helpers folder, and I'm going to add a file. This file is shared with the actual service. Oops. Add existing item, and I'm going to go to get this file here. Okay, so now I have my constants ready to create the URI. I get the JSON with await, so I need to make this method async. And then I'm going to use json.net to deserialize the object into a list of friends. I'm going to set every friend is dirty to false, okay, because those are safe, they came from the service, no changes yet. And then I'm going to return the data, which is a list of friends. Now the save friend method, what we are going to do here, the save friend works with a post. So I'm going to post some JSON to my service. So I'm going to put here a new HTTP client. I'm going to create the URI, this time with a save action. I'm going to serialize the friend, the new friend that I got to JSON. And then I'm going to create here string content with media type header value of application slash JSON. And then I'm going to post the JSON to this URI. I'm getting the ID back from the service. Okay, notice that I have some await keyword, so I need to put async here. And then I can set isDirty to false and return the ID. If I had a problem, I return 0 here. Okay, so now my services are ready. Now let's worry about the view model. So the view model is an implementation of view model base, like usual. I'm going to remove this. This is code which is created when you create a new MVVM Lite application. We don't need that here. I remove everything. You can also remove this cleanup method. I'm not going to use it here. The data service is injected inside the view model. Okay, so we have here in the view model locator. This data service is registered with the IOC container. Main view model is registered as well. So when I do here get instance, it's going to resolve the dependencies automatically. And it's going to inject the data service inside the main view model. OK, now I need a list of friends. So I'm going to do that here. And this is an observable collection because I want to data bind to that. I'm going to initialize my observable collection here, create it. Then I'm going to add a few commands. So the first command I add is a refresh command. This is going to call the refresh method in an asynchronous manner. Okay, you can do some asynchronous lambdas. The refresh method here is going to get the list of friends from the data service. It's going to clear the observable collection and re-add all the friends to it. Now, in case I have an error, I'm going to use something called dialog service to show this error. But I need to implement the dialog service. Now, here we are at the point where we are writing code which is going to be different from Windows Phone and for Windows 8, because you don't show a message dialog or a message box in the same manner in Windows Phone and in Windows 8. So I'm going to have one iDialog service interface, which is going to be shared, but I'm going to have two implementations of that interface, one for Windows Phone, one for Windows 8. Okay? Here I'm at the limit of what I can do with PCL. I need to get out inside the app. So first of all, let's add in helpers, I'm going to add a new interface, iDialog service. I'm going to implement that interface. And what I want to have is a few methods here to show an error, to show a message, and maybe even to show a message box for debug purposes. Now, for the moment, I'm not going to worry about the implementation of that dialog service. I'm just going to use it in the PCL. So here, I'm going to add a property of type iDialog service, which is going to use the IOC container to get the dialog service and to consume it. Why am I not injecting the dialog service inside the constructor? There is a reason, but I'm injecting with a property. Any idea? Well, the problem is that depending on the implementation of iDialog service, it's going to change during the lifetime of the application. And for example, typically in Windows Phone, the iDialog service is the page itself. But in a Windows Phone application, you navigate to different pages all the time. Okay. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to on navigated to, I'm going to register the page as an iDialog service. And then when I have the on navigating from, I'm going to unregister, navigate to the same, to the next page, and then register again. Now that is something which can easily be put into a page base class. So here, if you check my Windows Phone app, I have a phone page base class. And you see this phone page base implements iDialog service. And it is going to register itself on navigated to and unregister in on navigating from. Okay? Like this in the main view model, every time I pull the dialog service, I'm sure that I have the fresh page available to show the dialogs. Okay, now let's add a new command which is going to be used to show the details of a friend. So this command is going to navigate to a new page. So here again, I need a view service. I need a navigation service to navigate to a page. And here too, I will have two implementations of navigation service because you don't navigate in the same manner in a Windows Phone app than in a Windows 8 app. Okay? It's very similar, very close, but not totally 100%. So again, same thing. I'm going to go into helpers, going to add a new interface, iNavigation service. Okay, and this here, this interface is going to have three simple methods, one to go back, one to navigate to a page, and notice that I'm using a string here for the page identifier, and the third one to navigate to a page with a parameter. Now here I'm also going to have to abstract the differences between Windows Phone and Windows 8. Now in Windows 8, navigation is quite nice because you navigate using the type of the page and you can pass a parameter to the navigate method. So what I do here is that in my Windows 8 app, I have a navigation service. Let's add that. This is something that can easily be reused in different applications, so you can put that into a DLL somewhere. Here I have, for some reason, I think, oh, right, one thing I forgot to do, by the way, of course, when I create my library here, I need to reference it from the application as well, so I forgot to do that, which means that nothing will work very well. So here I will go to solution and pull friends.lib. And I have to do the same here from my Windows Phone application. Go to solution and pull the same friends.lib. Okay, so I'm going to reference the same exact DLL. Okay, so now I have my navigation service. The iNavigation service interface is recognized. And those are the methods that I use. So navigation in Windows 8 is done by using the window.current.content that you map to a frame, and then after that you can do forward, backwards, navigate to, you can get a lot of information. And here down there I have the implementation of my interface, where if I get a key named details page, I'm going to navigate to type of details page, and I'm going to pass the parameter as the navigation parameter. So the navigation in Windows 8 is quite convenient. I'm sure that I could have avoided the switch by doing some reflection, but I didn't want to do that. In Windows Phone, I'm also going to pull the navigation service for Windows Phone. This is also a class that you can put in a library somewhere and reuse. Here we go. So in Windows Phone, the navigation happens with a phone application frame, which you get here as the application current.root visual. And then I have the implementation of my iNavigation service interface, which is going to take the page key as a string. Here we go. And get the parameter. Now, in Windows Phone 8, you cannot pass. I cannot simply pass parameter to the navigation method. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to cache that parameter, and then I'm going to pass a key to the navigation system. So here, I create a new key, which is simply a GUID. I'm going to register the parameter with that key into the IOC container, into a cache, okay? Then I do navigate. Navigate in Windows Phone takes a URL, so I have the name of the page and the GUID of the parameter. And then after that, when I retrieve the element in the details page, see what I'm going to do is decode the key from the query string and retrieve the parameter using here getInstance with that particular GUID. Now, it's a little bit annoying to have to do that, but unfortunately, in Windows Phone, this is how navigation with parameters work. You can only pass parameters into your URI. So if you want to pass an actual parameter, you have to save it somewhere. In that case, I save it in the IOC container. In Windows 8, the details.xaml is much, much easier, because here I can simply retrieve e.parameter, so I can actually pass an actual object as a parameter. Okay, so navigation service is now ready. So in my view model, I can use it. And what I'm going to do here is inject this navigation service here in the view model. Okay, I'm not going to worry about where it comes from for the moment. That's going to be delegated to the IOC container. We're going to write that code in a second. Then I'm going to save that here as a field. And then inside the show details command, I'm going to use this navigation service to navigate to the page. So I navigate here to details page, and I pass the friend as a parameter. OK, the last command I want to add is to save a friend. So I'm going to have a save command. This is also taking a friend as a parameter. And what I'm going to do with that method is save the friend here in an asynchronous manner using the data service, get the ID back, and then I'm going to pass this ID and assign that to the ID of the friend in case it was a new friend. Okay? If it was an existing friend, the IDs are just going to match. And then I have also some error handling with the dialog service. Good, so now my main view model is ready, but I have one problem, which is here, this injection here. I need to take care of that. So normally, I assign my objects into my IOC container, into the view model locator. If I go here into view model locator, inside the view model folder, you will see that here I have some setup going on. So I'm going to prepare the service locator. I'm going to register the data service as being the implementation of iData service. And I'm going to register the view model. Now, I would like to register the navigation service as well. But I cannot do that in the PCL because I have two different implementations, one for Windows Phone and one for Windows 8. So I need to do some additional setup. So I can do that with a small trick. I'm going to create here into my helpers folder inside the Windows 8 application a new class. Then I'm going to call that IOC setup. Now, this class is going to have a static constructor which registers the objects which are specific to Windows 8. So in that case, for navigation service, I register this navigation service here, which is the one that I added before, which is the one which is specific, this guy here, specific to Windows 8. Okay? Now, this class here, I want to do the same in Windows Phone, but with a Windows Phone navigation service. Well, I can share that class because my namespaces are compatible. By the way, the first thing you want to do when you create here a new application and then you want to share code is go into the properties and make sure that this namespace, the default namespace, is the same for your two applications, okay? The DLLs are probably named differently, you don't care about that, but the namespace should be the same. Like this, you can really pull code and share code without having to worry about namespace incompatibilities, okay? So now this guy here is into friends.helpers, so what I'm going to do is that I'm going to share it with my Windows 8, with my Windows Phone application, so it's here. In order to share, I go to helpers, I do add existing item, I navigate to my Windows 8 helpers folder, I take the IOC setup, and here I add as a link. So this was the first strategy that I showed to you where I said you can share at source code level. This is how it works. There is a shortcut to that if you don't want to do this whole exercise. A good friend showed that to me the other day. I was super happy. You can actually take IOC setup, pull it down with Control Shift, and this is going to create a shortcut. Okay? So now I have this IOC setup. Notice that there is a small arrow, a small blue arrow here next to the icon, which means it's a shortcut, it's a link. The file was not added physically. Okay, now I have this IOC setup ready. Now I need to find a way to create that IOC setup to execute the constructor before everything else happens. And that I can do very easily in app.xaml. I'm going to take here, I'm going to add this object to the resources before the view model is initialized. So this is going to force the creation of this IOC setup, which is going to run the constructor code, which is going to register the navigation service. And it's automatically going to pick the correct navigation service in the Windows Phone and in the Windows 8 application. Of course, I need to do the same in app.xaml of the Windows 8 application. So I'm going to do the same here. Up, voila. Good. So now I have everything ready, and I can start thinking about design. Okay? Let's go to Blend. Now, in expression Blend, I have my projects ready here. Let's start with Windows Phone, for example. So I'm going to open the main page. Invalid markup, great. Phone page base, probably because I didn't build. Let me just build that. Oops, simple IOC doesn't exist. Okay, so I have something missing. Okay. Blend works with the DLLs, with the contents of the DLL, so you need to make sure that you always build your application before, well, either inside Blend or before you change to Blend. Like this, they will find the objects. Let's just refresh everything. Okay, and still doesn't work. Oh, it's not finished. Until everything is refreshed, it can take a moment in the beginning. So I'm working with the exact same files in Blend and in Visual Studio here. So everything I do in Visual Studio needs to be refreshed in Blend, of course. What's happening now? Phone page base doesn't exist. That's peculiar. Windows Phone helpers. Phone page base is here. Friends helpers, yes. Main page. Friends helpers, okay. Okay, so Blend is not super happy, so I'm going to unload the project. Actually, I had that happen to me the other day, I remember now. And the solution to that was to reload the project. For some reason, there was something not totally working at assembly level. Okay, now it's working. So sometimes you need to close Blend, reopen it. But generally speaking, it works not bad. Okay, so now I'm going to start here with my main page. And what I want to do is put a list control for all my friends. Okay. Now, in Windows Phone 8, the list control of choice is not the list box anymore. It's something called long list selector. Long list selector in Windows Phone 7 was available in the toolkit, but now it's really part of the SDK. So really, list box is still there. You can actually still use it, but it's recommended to use long list selector instead. So I'm going to put it here. I'm going to make it take the whole space. Here we go. And then I'm going to data bind. So since I'm into my into an MVVM Lite application, the data context is bound to my main view model, which is here inside the view model locator. Even though that view model locator and the main view model are in a PCL, it works, no problem. Okay. And now I can go into this long list selector and I can data bind the item source property to main view model dot friends list here. And now you see that I have nothing appearing because I didn't take care of my design time data yet. Okay, let's take care of that now. So here what I'm going to do is create some design time data in PCL, in the portable class library. I'm going to add here a new folder, call it design. I'm going to add here a new implementation of my data service. Let's call that design data service. And iData service. Okay. Now for get friends, what I'm going to do. For get friends, what I'm going to do is create here a list of 30 friends with just first name, last name, and picture. I'm taking a picture from the web. Okay. I'm going to set isDirty to true for one of two friends. Every two friends, I set isDirty to true just to help me with the design. And then I add it to the result. The save friend, I don't need that at design time, so I'm going to leave it like that. Then inside my main view model constructor, I'm going to, if I am in design mode, I'm going to refresh, I'm going to create, to force the creation of those elements. Let's build that. Okay, and if I go into Blend now, if we are lucky, it should refresh automatically. It doesn't, so I'm going to have to redo the small trick of reopening and reclosing. No. So again, unfortunately, there is still a little problem here in Blend where sometimes you really have to refresh the whole project. That's really annoying. I'll talk to the Blend team about that. Ouch, I still don't have my design time data. Why not? Succeed. Okay, collection. What did I forget? Did anybody see what I forgot? I'm sorry? Yeah, Blend is always running in debug, yeah. That's weird. So, item source, create data binding, friends list, that should be fine. Friends list. Okay, one thing we can do is try to debug Blend. So, I didn't want to show that here, but let's try anyway. Control D, A. Oh, it doesn't work. Let's do debug. Attach to process. Then I'm going to attach to Blend.
Here we go. And then I'm going to go into Blend and reopen the page, and we'll see. Aha, okay, so now you see I have a problem. When the view model is created, I probably forgot to register something. The iData service is not found in the cache. Oh, I know why. You know why? Because I forgot something. So you see here you can find bugs into your design time data by attaching to Blend directly. Yeah? So what I forgot is that inside my view model locator, when I am in design mode, I need to register. You see I had this line here commented out. I need to uncomment it. So what I do is that I'm checking if I am in design mode. If I am in Blend, I'm going to actually use the design data service, the one which creates my 30 friends. And otherwise, I'm going to use the actual data service, the one that connects to the web service. Okay, sorry for that small issue. Let's build that. Okay. Here we go. And now, yes, I have design time data. Okay? So this design time data now doesn't have a representation. I need to do a data template. But I see that I have something in my list, which is very convenient because now I can do my design visually. I did prepare already a small data template, so I'm going to do object, edit additional template, edit item template, apply resource, friend template. Okay? And now I'm going to edit that. I'm going to add a picture. So edit current, I have a grid here. I'm going to take here an image control. Now I can bind the source of this image control to the picture URL of my friend. Okay? And now I see what I have, so I can do a little bit of design. I'm going to just add a bit of margin here. Here, the 10. 10. Here we go. And now I would like also to show when a friend is dirty, when it has not been saved yet. So I'm going to go here to the grid, add a rectangle behind the image. I can do everything visually, which is very convenient. Remove the stroke, set the fill to red. Going to do a little bit of margins as well. So 8 pixels, 8 pixels, like that. And now I'm going to bind the visibility of this guy here to isDirty with a Boolean to visibility converter that I took care of adding into my application. And now you remember that when I created the design time data, every second friend was dirty. Well, that's what you see now. Okay? So everything can be done visually, which is very convenient. For Windows 8, same thing. So if I go here, and I open the main page of the Windows 8 app. Here, in that case, I'm going to use a grid view as a list control, not a list view. Here we go. So I can go, this is my Windows 8 app. I can go here to the assets, grid view, add it here, right click. Reset layout, reset all. And then same thing, I go and I select the item source, create data binding, friends list, and I see my design time data appearing, same thing. So I can also go and do a data template. Here too, I prepared one already. Friend template. And here we go, we have the view, okay? Now I see immediately that here I should have some padding. Okay, I want to have this content aligned with my text here. So if you were yesterday in my design talk, you may remember that you want to have here 120 pixel padding. This doesn't appear immediately. You need to refresh the page. So I'm going to do that. Win8 here. And here we go. We have the correct view. Okay. Good. Now let's add a few buttons because we want to refresh the thing. So in Windows Phone, what I'm going to do is add here a refresh button. So let's go back to the page. I have prepared an application bar already, but it is empty. I'm going to right-click add application bar icon button. I'm going to select here an icon, save. This icon is already in my application, but if it was not, I could pull it from the list here, and Blend will add it automatically. So I'm going to add refresh. Refresh here. And since in Windows Phone I cannot connect to a command directly, what I'm going to do is have a small event handler, which is going to take care of that. Here we go. So what I will do now is take the main view model, which is the data context of the page, and call vm.refreshCommand.execute. And voila. Now in Windows 8, I can also have an application bar. Here we go. I'm going to add a button. Here, what I will do is remove the content of the button. And I'm going to use a style which is available, which Windows 8 gives you directly, which is refresh app bar button style. And this takes care of the icon and of the text. And here, for buttons, I can bind to a command. So I can do here create data binding and go to my main view model to the refresh command. OK. Now for the navigation, I have those friends. So what I want to do is when I tap on a friend to do the navigate command, the show detail command. So I'm going to go here into the template, and I'm going to add a behavior. Here I will use invoke command action, which is a behavior from Blend. Here we go. And for this behavior, I'm going to handle the tap event. And this will go to the command inside static resource locator, inside the main view model. And I'm selecting the show detail command. Show detail needs a friend, remember, because after that I'm passing that to the navigation service to go into the details page. So here I'm going to also bind the command parameter. And here I need to bind to the, I need to do just binding, okay? How do you say in English already? The curly bracket, binding, and nothing else. So what you do in Blend to do that is custom, and then you leave the path empty. Okay, if I show you here quickly the example, you see I have command, binding equals, etc. And here I have command parameter equals, binding, mode equals, one way. Because I'm just passing the data context of that particular data template. I already took care of the navigation into the main page.xaml. It's a simple command call, so nothing special here. So now I have that ready. Now let's talk about the details page. So in the details page, you remember, I set the data context inside the code behind here. So Blend design time data is not going to work, but you can trick Blend into doing that. So what I have is that my friend object has, well, I'm going to add a constructor. Here we go. And this constructor is going to, in design mode, to create some design time data. And then I will tell Blend, when you are using this details page, you have to use that data context. And to do that, what you do is that you go into the XAML, and then you type D data context. D is something which is used only at design time. So the data context at design time is going to be D design instance with type VM friend. And then you say is design time creatable, it's kind of a long name, is design time creatable equals true. And I'm going to do the exact same thing in Windows 8, because that works in Windows 8 as well. Actually, I was in Windows 8 now. I'm going to do the exact same thing here in Windows Phone. OK, so now let's build and go back to the to blend. Okay, let's go to blend. And now if I open the details page, let's start here with the details page here. Now I have first name, last name, and I can do my binding. For example, first name, let's go to, oh, it's actually already data bound. Just building in blend to make sure that I have the latest. Yes, to all. Okay, so now you see I have Laurent Bunion here, so my design time data is available, so I can also go here inside the layout route, take an image. Here, I'm going to bind the source of the image to my picture URL. Here we go, I have my design time image. Now, of course, I want to put this here, put 24 pixel and 12 pixel on top. Do things like that. For the dirty here, I can go and bind the visibility. Same thing as before, create data binding to ease dirty with a Boolean to visibility converter. And in that particular case, that friend is dirty. If I go inside the Windows 8 app, you will see that I have also the same thing, details page. Here we go. So I also have my design time data, which is ready. Okay? Good. So now at this point, the application is ready to be tested. But before we go on, I have 9 minutes left. So I'm going to just do a little bit of NFC, just for fun. NFC is near-field communication, and it allows you to pass some messages from one device to the other. Okay? Now, the reason why I wanted to talk to you about NFC is that it's a very good example of what's coming to us, which is full compatibility between all your devices. The NFC API is one-to-one compatible between Windows Phone and Windows 8. Okay? I cannot put that code into PCL because it's sensor code and PCL doesn't support sensors. But I can write exactly the same code. So let's do that. Oh, I think one thing I forgot is to take care of saving, but honestly, I'm going to skip that. So for NFC, what I want to do is add a two-string method here, which is going to take care of serializing the friend to a string. And then I'm going to add a constructor, which when it gets a string, is going to initialize the friend. Then, inside the details page of the phone app, the phone is going to be the sender here. What I'm going to do, you see I have here a proximity device. This is the NFC sensor. So what I'm going to do here is initialize, initialize this device. So I get the default device. If it was null, it means that this particular phone doesn't support NFC, so you cannot use that. So I'm going to disable the button if that was false. Maybe you also want to show a message to your user. Now I need a button, so I'm going to add the button in Blend. Let's go into the details page in Blend. And I'm going to add inside the application bar a new application bar icon button. I'm going to select the share icon here. And here I'm going to type send click, which is going to be the event handler. Now when I send, what I'm going to do is set is enabled to false on disable the whole page, because when you click, it's going to wait for the contact. So once you clicked, you have to wait, okay? Then, in case I was already publishing a message, I'm going to stop, because I want to publish a fresh message. I'm going to get the serialization that I just put into the friend, and then I'm going to publish with a key windows.galasov.friend. Okay? And then I'm publishing the CRL. Now, at this point, what the phone does is that it's waiting for the contact. Because it's waiting for the contact and because I disabled, when the contact is broken, I want to reset my situation here. So what I'm going to do is that if NFC is supported, I'm going to listen to the is departed event, and this event fires when the contact is broken. So in that case, I'm going to stop publishing the message, and then I'm going to set is enabled to true. Notice the use of dispatcher helper here, because device code is run on the background thread, so you need to get back to the main thread. Good, now in my main page in my Windows 8 app, what I'm going to do here is declare the device, and I'm using the same proximity device. Inside the main page, I'm going to initialize. It works exactly the same, get default. Now I'm going to add here a receive button inside my main page. So I'm going to go here, add a button, same thing as before. I'm going to remove the content, reset, and then I'm going to select a style, which is the sync style here. And now here, that is something that I do, receive, click that I do here in the code behind. I don't have a command for that, because this is device code, so device code typically goes into the view. When receive is clicked, I'm going to subscribe for the message using the same label, the same windows.galasov.friend. And the handle message method here, what it's going to do is when the message arrives, when there is actual contact, I'm going to get the data context, call update friend, which is a method that I need to add. So inside my main view model here. Here we go. Let's add update friend. And update friend is going to get the is going to create a friend from the serial. It's going to check if there is already a friend with that ID. If yes, it's going to update it. If no, it's going to add it. Okay, so let's test all that quickly. I'm going to set the Windows 8 application as startup project. I'm going to run it on the local machine. And here I have the application on my phone. I need to use the actual phone, obviously, because otherwise NFC doesn't work in the emulator. So let's go here. Now I have the friends here. I'm going to tap refresh to reload. Once I have all my friends, I'm going to navigate to one. And then here, this is the application. So first thing I need to tell to the slate, you're going to receive a message. So I tap here on sync. Then here on the phone, I say you're going to send a message. So I tap on share. You don't see it, but it's disabled now. And when I go and tap the NFC sensor, I get the friend sent to the slate. So that is working just fine. OK? Now, just to show you that the code to refresh works, I can go and refresh, which is going to load from the web service. If I tap on one of the friends, I'm going to navigate to the details page. And finally, the same thing on the phone. So if I go here and I change here to Windows Phone 8, set as startup project, and run in the emulator this time, if I tap here the refresh button, funny enough, it doesn't work. Well, I don't have time to debug. There is maybe a small issue somewhere. Typically here, it's possible that I lost the connectivity with the emulator. That happens sometimes. Believe me, it should work. But anyhow, you saw the NFC working, so it means that this application is actually working just fine. All right, so I'm already at the end. Sorry for the small technical issues that I had. That cost me a few minutes. However, I will be very happy to take your questions maybe on the side so that I can let my friend Rich set up for his session, right? Thank you very much for your attention. I hope it was fun for you. It's really a great time where we see more and more compatibility between those devices. And let me tell you that the time where you are going to write your code once and run it everywhere is really not far. So happy coding, and thank you for your attention.